to tell you, baby, what I'm talking about. I'm on back to meet a little girl so weak.
Elvis and rock and roll arrived in the 50s, and kids stopped listening to their parents' music. Beat poets led by Jack Kerouac and moving to the rhythms of jazz took the rebellion underground and inspired a counterculture. Something strange was happening. In the land of Eisenhower, Doris Day, and the segregated South, young kids were dancing to black music, celebrating sex, and hitchhiking across the country. To their worried parents, there was only one comfort. Surely, this new beat would never last. In the late 40s and early 50s, New York City was pulsing with the beat of a new music, bebop. It was an original African-American sound that was changing the rhythm of the city's culture.
In that era when your life is a movie, that was the music of the movie. You could walk over to the Five spot and hear Thelonious Monk and John Coltrane. That was the house band. That music was making an expression of the times, the way that the painting was, a statement about the time, a rhythm about the time that was very inspiring.
Musicians, painters, and writers migrated to New York in search of new ways to express a discontent with the limits of post-war life. One of these was a young aspiring writer named Jack Kerouac. He didn't want to be just another writer. He wanted to be a jazz musician who played the typewriter. The jazz player that meant the most to Kerouac was Charlie Parker.
Kerouac was picking up on the fact that the cadences were like spoken language, that you could use those rhythms in writing. So what Kerouac was doing was taking the same kind of new rhythmic beat into his prose and his poetry.
It's the beat generation, it's Bayat. It's the beat to keep, it's the beat of the heart. It's being beat and down in the world and like old time lowdown. And like in ancient civilizations, the slave boatmen rowing galleys to a beat.
Kerouac began picking up on the word beat drawn from a common vocabulary of Times Square, meaning in those days, exhausted, worn out, maybe homeless, maybe up all night, not wanting to be hassled. It didn't mean beaten. It didn't mean the beat of drums. It didn't mean hearing the beat, man, snap, 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 all that hippy-dippy stereotype you get on mass media. It just meant emotionally and intellectually exhausted and wide open and maybe receptive to some other awareness, some more deeper perception.
Kerouac and Ginsberg banded together to form a loose group of poets and writers known as the Beats.
Yeah, well, I think of myself as a beat generation person.
Do
basically.
You?
Yeah. I mean, I think we're still a beat generation world.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody says cool now. Well, you know, cool was a term that came about that African Americans initiated or innovated as a way of not to get shot in the street for doing nothing.
Are we cool?
Yeah, let's
be cool,
man.
Right.
You know, and junkies had to be cool, not to get
sure.
arrested. So it came from that world, and you know, but at the time it was only the initiates understood it.
Sure.
Now everybody uses it. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the beat generation, they've redefined the way we look at everything, really. Sex, politics. It started during the Second World War when all the men were away. the dances stopped happening.
Yeah.
So the musicians just sat down and said, okay, we're artists. We're not going to play for you to dance. We're going to play for you to listen.
I don't need to be in that big band.
Yeah, so sit down and listen. Yeah. And, you know, they were playing in the cabarets, which were in the basements of apartment houses, basically. So there were no drums initially because it would make too much noise. And the people snapped because they couldn't clap because that would make too much noise.
Yeah.
And so it just got cool. But
So that was it, really? Drums to begin with?
Yeah.
Were a lot of them then, by saying the dancing stops, that means that a lot of them were out of work from their gig in the big band.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were all, you know, they were responding to the war and to what happened, you know, the end of the war. Certainly Jackson Pollock's paintings are like,
right,
being in the middle of an atom bomb explosion as all the molecules fly apart.
Right.
They were codifying these things and trying to find some order in all of this lunacy.
I think what attracted us was that everybody was somewhat interested in literature, poetry, art, and to define some kind of new vision of America.
Sal, we gotta go and never stop going till we get there.
Where are we going, man?
I don't know, but we gotta go.
Across America, Kerouac began writing a novel in his mind, a beat novel, set to the rhythms of bebop that would discover for a new generation the American dream of a land without limits.
The only people for me are the mad ones. The ones who are mad to live, mad to talk, mad to be saved, desirous of everything at the same time. The ones who never yawn or say a commonplace thing, but burn, 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 like fabulous yellow Roman candles exploding like spiders across the stars.
Reminds me of a case I once worked on. Had to do with shooting craps in a barrel, in fact, but mostly it had to do with spiders and nuns. I asked him to wait just a moment, and he began to roll a cigarette, and I got my notebook. I settled in, and he took a long drag off the paper tube. The tobacco smelled firm and manly in the charred air. I prodded his memory, told him spiders were kind of a touchy subject with me. Well, I agree with you there, little man. In reality, I found out that all spiders want to talk about is flies. He looked old, but as healthy as one could hope for one so beaten by life on the streets. His long legs were wrapped up in sheets of some kind, and his old slippers slapped on the linoleum with its faded flowers of tropic days gone past.
Spiders! You can have 'em, he said. All they want to talk about is fly futures, fly margins, stockpiling flies, buying and selling flies, transporting flies, breeding and raising flies for profit, slaughtering flies, pricing flies, triple witching hours of flies, loaning flies, fly rates, borrowing against flies, building equity in flies, governing flies, managing flies, training flies, promoting flies to management positions, self-help for flies, paroling flies, keeping flies from smoking crack, educating flies, keeping flies in their place, and of course, eating flies. He paused for a long moment. I don't like spiders much, he said. Me neither, I said.
Kerouac's life on the road began to take on a kind of mythic quality, one which he helped to create. He wrote about his experiences as if they were part of a mystical quest for a new, offbeat American dream.
At lilac evening, I walk with every muscle aching among the lights of 27th and Welton in the Denver colored section, wishing I were a Negro, feeling that the best the white world offered was not enough ecstasy for me, not enough life, joy, kicks, darkness, music, not enough night. I stopped at the little shack where a man sold red-hot chili in paper containers. I bought some and ate it, strolling the dark, mysterious streets.
And Dwayne was the one man, the producer, he says, look in the alley, man, if you want to find poetry. And I looked in the alley.
Yeah.
And I found a poet. I'd drag him in here. Hey, Ray, would you help me out here with you?
Well, we'll certainly.
This is a famous poet, man.
I can't let him on the air until I know who he is.
Beat St. Jack, man. No, you've heard of him.
Is that Beat St. Jack? That's the man that taught Bukowski how to drink.
That's right, man.
He brought his shopping cart in here. We cannot have that.
Please, leave the shopping
cart. So, Beat Man.
Just leave it out, yeah.
Yeah, this is your radio interview, man, and you do your poetry, you do your thing. I understand.
Do it now, man.
Now, you're going to do that you're gonna do that lonesome saxophone thing.
No,
and you
man, I gave up the lonesome saxophone. It's a bunch of shit, you know. It's
what? You are modern. You saying that you are a modern kind of a guy?
Yeah, yeah. So, I got a new, just a minute. I bring in my music along with me. I set it up. Yeah, man. Yes, okay. Okay.
Take that thing off.
It's in my shopping cart.
All right,
give him the shopping cart back from the alley. Beat St. Jack.
Once again for the flavored fuel. The New World Mint trots out a delectably collectible selection of six handsomely hand-molded chief executive posteriors in pure 24-karat oil-fed creamery butter. So purchase your personal thank you, Mr. President. It smirks like a million points of friendly fire. Then choose your choice of dance. Try out the unlovable loser of the unknighted, unevil umpire the lesser, Elder George H.W. Bush Butterbutt. Yes, some folks think that a day fat pat on a tight bush brings fortunes to lucky fingers fast and on the inside. Or why not pick on the prickly X? People's choice. Express yourself, Pops, with a hop-on pop Pepsi's coccyx sent frozen in FedEx's truck and extra finely struck out the way you'll always want to think about watching it laid low and inside. Spread wide. Suitable for getting framed. Kiss up today. The presidential butt and butter from the New World Mint, where our wildest dreams are made of fat. Okay, baby.
Wow, help him out, man. Roll him out. Roll him out. Beat St. Jack, man. All right.
Take that card.
You know, that gives me hope, man.
I wish that were a Denver Mexican, or even a poor overworked Jap. Anything but what I was so drearily, a white man disillusioned. The Negro people will be the salvation of America.
There's an almost innocent reverence for black culture, which is a hallmark of the counterculture, which will grow. They see blacks being freer and less restrained, which may be true, but it's because the other society that they are rejecting has yet to incorporate blacks in it. So they are seeking out the culture of people who would probably love to have, many of them, 9-to-5 jobs.
During the early 50s, Kerouac spent more and more time on the West Coast, where he discovered Buddhism, took long retreats into the wilderness, and experimented with drugs.
Cafe Buddha, a place we go when we're tired of certainty and hope there is perhaps a more interesting conversation.
So much of your religion, reality, you are told to believe, except there's no choice but...
But you know better.
Buddhism doesn't, but dances to the possibility that it does.
What is Buddhism if...
It is not a conversation.
You can be a Buddhist and anything else you please.
What nonsense. You're either right or wrong. There are no grays in life.
Seems to me there's nothing but grays.
You're alive or dead. Where's the gray area there?
Bubon?
We don't want to convert death. We want to snuff it out. Out, out, damn spot. You too, Dick and Jane.
Aww.
Cheetah.
Publishers rejected his writing, but a few underground critics sensed that Kerouac's searchings would resonate with a restless younger generation hungry for the open road. Hollywood sensed the same mood.
Hey, Johnny, what are you rebelling against?
What do you got? Man, you are too square. I have to straighten you out. You just go.
They took the song of the open road and set it to a new, modern beat with lyrics that came straight out of black jazz clubs.
Now, if you're going to stay cool, you got to wail. You got to put something down. You got to make some jive. Don't you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, that's all I'm saying.
My father was going to take me on a fishing trip to Canada once.
Yeah.
We didn't go.
Crazy.
What's your road, Dan? Holy Boy Road, Madman Road, Rainbow Road, Guppy Road, any road. It's an anywhere road for anybody, anyhow.
Here's your keys. Goodbye, friends, and happy motoring back on the freeway, which is already in progress.
Whew. Well, here goes. Nice feel. Let's see. Oh, how can you be in two places at once when you're not anywhere at all? Dum, bum, bum. I think I'll give this old baby a spin on the freeway.
Wrong way. Entering freeway.
Here we go.
Emergency parking lot. Merging buses ahead.
Giant slide, 19 holes, underground parking, Midden Hills, retirement paradise, Withers
only. Oh,
easy access.
Goldoni
Avenue.
Speedometer check, 0.
Strasburg Lane, 1 mile.
The speedometer's only got half a mile on it.
Bible Shield and all.
Antelope Freeway North. I want to go north, or do I want to take the, let's see, the Gomorrah Expressway West?
Shadow Valley Condoms. If you lived here, you'd be home by now.
Antelope Hills, selected living, comfortable, easy, okay. Antelope Freeway, this lane, exit only.
Yeah, I think I'll take the old Antelope, less traffic.
Easy street. Antelope Freeway, 1 mile.
Clean up Armenia. Get a hair lift.
Antelope Freeway, 1/2 mile. Chile Avenue.
Let's see what they got
Antelope
in this
freeway,
car.
1/4 mile.
Let's see. We got
Antelope Freeway, 1/8 mile.
Lights, wipers,
Antelope
defrost,
freeway, 1/6 mile.
Temperature and climate control.
Antelope Freeway, 1/32 mile.
See what kind of climate I can get.
Antelope Freeway, 1/16 mile.
Winter Wonderland.
Antelope
Freeway, spring fever. Indian
Antelope
summer.
Freeway, 1/2 mile.
Tropical paradise. Tropical paradise. I think I'll give it a try.
Ken liked to type almost as fast as he could think, or as fast as he could think. And his method was, don't stop to think of words, but to see the picture better. So that there was an unrolling almost like the movie of the mind.
Kerouac's movie of the mind unfurled on a sheet of teletype paper. This rolling manuscript with no paragraphs and sentences that went on page after page became the first draft of a novel called On the Road.
He wasn't writing about people who got married and raised nice families. He was talking about these wild young people who went on the road, had a lot of sex, drank, took dope.
With his bow tie and crew cut, Kinsey became a recognizable figure in the gay bars around New York's Times Square. To find willing interview subjects, he hired a local hustler named Herbert Hunky.
A hunky was sort of a scout to bring people in from Times Square at, I don't know, $5 a head or something like that. And Kinsey had come to focus just during this small, short period of time on the floating population of Times Square, because there were a lot of hustlers, a few junkies, women of the evening. A very tolerant atmosphere, a very healthy atmosphere, actually. Not at all like now. Not sleazy, or not that sleazy. And so, Burroughs and Kerouac and I were all interviewed for the Kinsey Report. And Dr. Kinsey interviewed me, actually. So we're built into these statistics, sexual activity of the American male.
Homosexuals are very friendly, and were particularly friendly then, I think. And this you notice right through as he gets into them. To find someone who appreciated them, was interested in them, did not condemn them. They flocked to him, you know.
Your son has a priceless, God-given gift, but he may never learn to use it properly. Satisfy your child's budding curiosity by exposing him to Cartel's newest educational doll, Merv the Perv. And Merv will return the compliment. Wind up Merv the Perv and watch your child's face light up. Merv. Herb the Purr from Cartel, available at fine toy stores everywhere. Batteries not included.
You know, listen to a lot of jazz. We're looking for kicks. We're not holding responsible jobs. This was a very, very threatening message in the 50s.
Hello, yes, this is Mary. How are you? Bye.
They say your kitchen dazzles every eye.
A brand new sink, a built-in oven, a new refrigerator, and a phone, a kitchen phone, a bright red phone. I've gotta go. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. I'll call you later.
I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness, starving, hysterical, naked, dragging themselves through the Negro streets at dawn looking for an angry fix. Angel-headed hipsters.
A search for love and a cry of anger, Howl by Allen Ginsberg, would be the launch pad for the Beat Generation.
Moloch, Moloch, robot apartments, invisible suburbs, skeleton treasuries, blind capitals, demonic industries, spectral nations, invincible madhouse, granite cocks, monstrous bombs.
Phone her in.
I tell ya, I took all the uppers. You want to hear me rap? I saw the best minds of my generation.
Put her in the car.
Put
her in the back seat. Out of sight. Pull her into Dr. Benway.
Oldie but Goldie City, Benway here.
Hey, Doc. Got one for re-grooving. Be right in.
Groovy.
And one day I sat at my typewriter and said, well, I'll just write what I feel like writing, imitating Kerouac, basically, and feeding in all the experience I had politically and socially and whatever else, you know, the normal intelligence, without any intention of publishing it. And therefore, I was free to write anything I want. So that was an interesting situation, to give up on ambition, give up on publishing, be beat, so to speak, and free.
The first public performance of Howl took place in San Francisco at a converted garage called the Six Gallery.
About, I think, 150 people showed up for the event, and people were standing, people were seated on the floor, and they were listening to us read, and they were drinking wine. Jack Kerouac was in there going, go, 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 as we read. So it had some of the aspects of a jazz program. What Howl was for all those people who were feeling that police state authoritarianism and were suffering from it and needed to hear that they weren't alone in their suffering. That was a big change and American thinking.
Police state!
Police state!
Police state!
Help! It's the police!
Policemen, real policemen, it's policemen will become.
Who's number one?
Peacemen, yes, we're peacemen! Even though we wear a gun,
it's all in fun.
Police state, where green rookies become hardened men in blue, where danger wears a diploma and crime gets taught the lesson it deserves. Listen now as the Federal Bureau of Marijuana, in cooperation with Crime Lord Magazine, presents challenge number 13, Roach Patrol at Police State.
When I read On the Road, it seemed just like a burst of pure energy. The voice was so extraordinary, those long, free sentences. I really thought it was gorgeous writing, and I still do.
Joyce Johnson met Kerouac on a blind date arranged by Allen Ginsberg. Over a hamburger and French fries, which she paid for, she fell in love with Kerouac.
Jack never foresaw that On the Road would have the kind of success that it had. And then he had written to me from Florida asking me if I could send him $30 so he could take the bus up to New York, because he thought maybe it would be a good idea to be around when the book came out. So he arrived the day that review came out in the Times.
The regular reviewer for the Times was on vacation. So the assignment for reviewing On the Road was handed to a part-timer who happened to be one of Kerouac's biggest fans.
The review said that On the Road would be for Jack's generation what The Sun Also Rises was for Hemingway's generation. It was hard to take in. I remember Jack asking me if I thought the review was pretty good. And I said, yes, I think it's really, really good. But still, he had no idea what it would mean for him. He was still obscure at that moment. And then we went back to the house and he lay down to sleep. And the next morning he was famous.
Well, a lot of people have asked me, why did I write that book or any book? All the stories I wrote were true, because I believed in what I saw. I was traveling west one time at the junction of the state line of Colorado, its arid western one, and the state line of poor Utah. I saw in the clouds huge and massed above the fiery golden desert of Evenfall, the great image of God with forefinger pointed straight at me through halos and rolls and gold folds that were like the existence of a gleaming spear in his right hand, which saith, come on, boy, go thou across the ground. Go moan for man. Go moan. Go groan. Go groan alone. Go roll your bones.
When I read On the Road, you know, I went to San Francisco. I mean, seldom has a book in my life influenced me that I would take up and change my life. So I went, when I was a kid, I was 18 years old, 19, something like that, told my mother I was going to Detroit, right, to hear Yusef Lateef. I called her from San Francisco 2 weeks later. She was really mad. That's an understatement. But I was hanging out on North Beach. I thought it was a beach. I thought it was like a place where you went swimming. And, you know, hung out there. And I wanted to see the scene that Kerouac was writing about.
Black people and white people could have very easy relationships with each other, because that too was sort of part of the whole beat scene. They organized readings and they started their own galleries, or they published little magazines and even small books.
Beat culture did not delight the establishment. One morning, Allen Ginsberg woke up to find that Howl, the poem he had written in defense of personal freedom, had been banned for obscenity. Kerouac, plucked from obscurity, suddenly became an object of public scorn and ridicule. Mainstream critics attacked his style with surprising bitterness.
And it was a case of kill the messenger. He was sort of perceived as an enemy, somebody, a harbinger of a very, very threatening cultural change. People objected to the way that he wrote, you know, and said it wasn't writing, it was typing.
I belong to the beat generation. I don't let anything trouble my mind.
While the beats were mocked by the mainstream, they were also absorbed by it.
Just fine.
Weirdsville, yeah.
Some people say I'm lazy.
Books and movies exploited a popular fascination with the beats. So unlike the rest of society, they seemed to inhabit an entirely different universe.
At the time of the Sputnik, a San Francisco columnist, Herb Kane, thought, oh boy, these poets, they're out of this world. So he said, beat Nick, beat plus Sputnik. And naturally, the press thought that was very good way of mocking the artistic activities and also headlining the berets, bongos, and the bedbug aspect of what they saw. They gave beatniks a bad name.
These are the beatniks, the defiant young, coming from every walk of life, wrought with suppressed emotions and mocking the everyday course of modern society, intent on striking back as they wage a battle for their right to be heard. The beatniks.
Give your love to me. The quest for personal freedom was hard on the Pathfinders. Jack Kerouac, searching for an America and a peace he never found, ended his life in an alcoholic rage.
By 1970 through 1975, all of the heroes of song and poetry were out on their own, in the solitude, doing their art,
the people that were going to die or drink themselves to death, as many great artists did, or get strung out, went down to Sheol, as Kerouac did, 105 miles from this ocean. He's buried in Lowell. But that's where I got all my poetry, the Mexico City blues. You got to read this?
Sure.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Yeah, I read this. My good friend Dave Whitaker gave me a copy of his book.
When?
In Minneapolis in 1959. Uh-huh. I remember when David gave me this book, it just blew a hole in my mind.
Really? Yeah. What's been buried in the grave? Dust.
Perfect dust.
Perfect dust in time. He wrote a lot about being dead. Once I went to a movie at midnight, 1940. Mice and Men, the name of it. The red block boxcars rolling by on the screen. Yes, sir, life finally gets tired of living. On both occasions, I had wild face looking into lights of streets where phantoms hastened out of sight into memorial cello time.
Oh, yeah. Here's one. Dead and don't know it. Living and do. The living have a dead idea. A person is a living idea. After death, a dead idea. When rock becomes air,
I will be there.
He did. Yeah, this is where he is.
Yeah, so rock has become air.
Yeah.
Just sit down a minute. Well, relax.
Yes, not every day.
Kerouac. He honored life. I had to read everything again that Kerouac wrote. Not that I did, but I thought about it differently. Often on the road, he was talking about the road of life.